The book of the, you know, the book of Job is one of the wisdom books of the Tanaka, and the it really looks at the question of why do bad things happen to good people. Because we have Job, this righteous fellow who has done very well and is very generous with his money and by all accounts a very good person, and then everything gets taken away from Job, and including his health, everything. And so there is this dialogue between him and the divine about why is this. And there is this kind of, and he's given various people along the way, come with all the kind of suggestions that, you know, it's your own fault, it's your karma, you committed a secret sin. There's all kinds of rational, people come up with all kinds of levels of understanding, really, that intended to stop his inquiry. But he very much, as Phil was mentioning earlier, the sense of the, was it either Phil or Duncan? Was it Duncan who mentioned the eloquent peasant? Duncan. Yeah, Duncan mentioned the eloquent peasant. In the Egyptian story of the eloquent peasant who, when something is wrong, takes his inquiry as far as it possibly can go. And in a sense, what we find Job doing is doing just that. He takes his inquiry beyond all the kind of normal limits, and then the response that comes is the divine. This is a great self revelation of who the divine is. He shows Job as an actual experience the sense of what creation itself, that things happen because of the mysterious nature of creation. And Job, if you like, sense of self is expanded into becoming Adam Kadmon, becoming one who partners with the divine in the act of creation. Now, there's a really, in Carl Jung's writings, there's a very interesting text called The Answer to Job, which isn't at such a profound level, but talks about the collective consciousness and the way in which the Job's struggle with God, challenge to the divine, results in the embodiment of the divine in the shape of Christ, in the divine figure coming into human flesh and blood, and directly and experiencing the struggle of human life. I mean, that's at a different level of understanding from the profound Kabbalistic understanding that takes us into the depths of the Book of Job, but it's still a very, very interesting response about the development of religious ideas over time, really. So that was that. Anything else that's hanging on? Because I'm going to move on to looking at the Mabinogion in a moment. So look if there's anything else that's hanging on from some of the other things we've been looking at this weekend.
Thank you, Ed.
I think it connects with what you've been saying about Job. So I'll try and put it succinctly. There's something about wanting to understand a bit better this mindset that, I think it's like a paradox, like the closer you are to God, the more far away. The closer you are, you think you are to God, the more far away you are. Because it can sometimes lead to sort of a sense of safety or supremacy even.
Oh yeah, totally. Well, not completely. Well, totally. I mean, the sense of being... Well, in a way, this is kind of in the territory that you find people like St. John of the Cross describing, where the true nearness to the divine is experienced in absence and vulnerability. And it talks about the well, the process of kenosis, of emptying, which was part of becoming the emptied and vulnerable vessel through which you are filled by the Ruach Elohim, the divine spirit. But if you are feeling, I am a chosen person, I am close to the divine, then you of course are very far from that.
Yeah.
You know, and in a way you can see that in any religious forms really, where what's happening there is a simulacrum of that, and you're an image in Yesod and a perversion really of what is really the profound experience of Da'at. Where the trick of Da'at is that the clipotic aspect of Da'at is the place where you know. But if you're actually in Da'at, you're really with the profound stripping away and vulnerability of the mystery of not knowing.
Yeah.
But the clipotic side of that is I know. I know the divine. I know my role. I know my place. And that is the moment, of course, where you fall down into the abyss. And because it's your knowing is the thing that encapsulates you. And it makes you unavailable to a deeper sense of growth and life.
And I think that sort of the magnetism of being people that know, or the knowingness, is really in our collective at the moment, you know. I guess it's in the whole MAGA thing where they sort of feel like this is God's country and God's will. Some of them do.
well, I think it is, and I think it's, and also I think there's something about this is the Jung points to the danger of the archetypes, being that instead of the archetypal energies deconstructing us and making us available to the sense of what he called the self, but we might call the deeper soul. The ego self, or the kind of the personality self, takes that energy and uses it to inflate itself, and we are seeing a great deal of that at the moment. You know, it's and a great deal of perversion of forms. I mean, there's there are people in America at this moment writing books about how empathy is not a Christian virtue. And that it is within empathy that the devil hides its most cunning tools. You know, given Jesus' fundamental message is, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself, is being redefined as neighbor is in J.D. Vance's terms, the people who are like us, and everybody else can fuck off. You know, so literally empathy is, in that world, is being described as a satanic vice. And so mad has the world become. But I think that's the problem, I think, with any religious form, any human form, really. It gets hijacked. It gets hijacked out of the desire for certainty, the desire to know, which is fundamentally based upon the desire to be safe and feel powerful and have power over other people. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else about where we've been so far? I jump back into the Mabinogi.
One last question, if I may.
Aye, surely so.
The idea of Savuvio,
yeah,
moving between, yeah, the points of the tree.
Yeah.
Again, this seems like a really reductionist question. One point moving, or multiple points moving simultaneously?
Multiple. I mean, Savuvio is, if you like, is almost the weave itself. Right.
Right.
So happening simultaneously in different points.
Mm.
So the very experience, of Savuviel is of being within the web, being in that place of connectedness somewhere.
So obviously, when we do things like path working, we're doing step by step, because that's how we have to do it, to communicate it. But to sit with the feeling of the tree would be a much more complex...
Yeah. So when we kind of just sit back, as we've been doing, and just getting of having, okay, we do the particular step-by-step building the tree, when we kind of just sit back into the feeling of the whole of the tree, we're really sitting back into the presence of Savuvial, into that sense of that whole network of the tree, and letting Savuvial hold us in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, good question. That's an interesting question.
I'm stuck with almost like Job's question, why does it have to be Donald Trump? Why?
There's a mystery.
Mm.
I mean, it's an unfathomable mystery.
Mm.
I mean, anyway, that is, it is like Job's question, that, isn't it? You know, that why does that, God, why does this have to happen?
Why does it have so much badness if all is divine? Then,
well, that, yeah. Again, this is part of Job's question, right? So the only answer to that, Rob, is to inquire into that, to look into that, to explore that as it presents itself to you, and kind of and discover if, you know, there's all kinds of ways of answering that question, but the whole important thing about the book of Job, which is really what the book of the Fountain of Wisdom is also saying, you know, explore, inquire, look into, discover.
Yeah, and it's like the place where, well, it's happening for a reason, and those are the kind of questions that don't answer it, really, aren't they?
No, well, they don't. I mean, again, there's some of the false comforters that people, that Job has, where, you know, just accept. But actually, the whole point about the book of Job, which is interesting, is that he maintains his complaint until the final uncovering. So you maintain the inquiry, you maintain the questioning, the searching. And then something comes that is a demonstrable experience that changes and makes that question no longer relevant. And then, of course, there'll be another question, but it'll mean that has extinguished itself entirely.
Hmm. It's just occurred to me that maybe... world events forcing us to take on board the larger context is a way of balancing up a very individualized narcissistic society. Just a thought, not just a throwaway.
Yeah, could be so.
I have had such a visceral experience of what you're talking about. Complexity and simplicity. Yesterday, I just got so confused by the Magnanian at the end of the day, and I thought, right, just let it go and be with whatever.
Yeah.
But it got even worse this morning. It was dreadful. It was so bad. I thought, I think I'm going to say to Ian, I don't want to continue with this.
Yeah.
Because I can't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. But I just kept staying with it, and simplicity and complexity, it was so complex. And then who was it suggested that we did the Colette's, breathe in, breathe out thing?
Holly did, yeah.
And I thought, okay, just trust with it. And then up came the blue vase in the centre. Oh, and the gold was already spilling out. And then it was already coming around my feet. And then you said about it going out into the world. And it had already happened with me. Mm-hmm. But it was the sense that I was left with of... I wasn't with any questions or... thoughts or anything, just win. And it feels like it's something in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Something in the middle. Such a process it's been this weekend.
Mm. Well, sure. I mean, again, the opposites of complexity and simplicity certainly have been around.
Yes.
That's lovely, lovely, lovely description, Jenny, of the meditation.
Ian, I have a question around something you said yesterday about the angels always being present and helping with that being and bringing of balance into the world.
Yeah.
And I find in this conversation now, I'm returning back to a question that came up for me at that time, which is like, what about the beings that are helping and supporting chaos coming forward into the world? I wonder if you would speak to them in any way.
Well, I suppose, that there's a whole, this is this whole other territory, really, of what the Kabbalah would call the klipot, whether these are individuals or energies from the past or spirit beings whose energies have become distorted and locked up. The whole work, in a sense, of the Kabbalah is connected with the balancing of that, the bringing of harmony, so that we bring bring the distorted forms, the distorted beings, into relationship with the great bundle of the living. And I think it's there's a whole, I wrote that book about it, where there's all these very, Kabbalists use these many different forms, really, to look at how these kind of distortions kind of happen, and how to free ourselves from that. But the fundamental thing is the capacity, so we have to lean back into that sense of goodness, that sense of bigness, that sense of the quality of light. We can't seek to address these territories without our own connection to something that's bigger than them. Otherwise it can be very overwhelming and causes actual harm. And then, having done that, there is that sense of then, it's almost like a spectrum, really, where first of all we learn to accept the existence of these beings. We allow them to be there. We don't pretend they're not there and stop trying to wish they didn't exist. And then increasingly find a way to bring ourselves into relationship with them, but and through us, them into relationship with these deeper energies of light. And in a way, that's the fundamental process of transformation. And that applies really to the parts of ourselves that are split off and are dedicated to chaos, and as opposed to that chaos being in the world and to the, very, very fortunately, what you might call the saints of chaos are as rare as the saints of goodness. Because the Kabbalah really identifies a number of different layers when they talk about the idea of that kind of brokenness and dedication to chaos. The first one is called kleta, which means is a sort of ignorant reactivity, which is the most common form of the klipotic experience. A more deeper form is called pesha, which is where somebody's will is to delight in causing chaos, is to enjoy chaos, to enjoy hurting others, to enjoy having power over others. And then there's a third layer. This name I can't remember currently.
Yvonne.
Thank you very much, Yvonne. Yvonne. This is the dedication to if you like, the clipot for its own sake, the dedication to chaos for its own sake. Most of the people you come across even do really awful things of operating at Vervelokrata. Occasionally you come across people operating at Peshawar. It's Trump Peshawar, sort of. There's a lot of Qatar in him somewhere. But Avon, the Avon place is one who has truly said, who wants the destruction of all for the good and for not for any even pleasure. There's no pleasure in it, but has decided, I want to destroy I'm dedicated to the destruction of the system of the universe. There's a interesting novel by Charles Williams, which is based on, called The War in Heaven, where which is about the great little romp where they imagine that the Grail, the Holy Grail, is found in a small church in Essex, and Satanists want to steal the Holy Grail for their own wicked purposes, but there are three characters within the or from Satanists that beautifully illustrate these three levels of the Kabbalah. One is a man called Gregory Persimmons, who is a kind of crooked publisher, and who is really not at all pleasant and does horrible kind of things. And so he really represents the level of Qatar. He quite enjoys being a Satanist and being this sort of wicked fellow. And so it's a sort of egotistical blindness there somewhere. There's then a figure who's called Manasseh the Jew, who delights in destruction for the sake of destruction, and who enjoys the power that gives him, the power of unmaking. And then there's a figure whose name we're never told, who's called the Greek. And the Greek really is kind of completely, he's quite contemptuous of the other two, because he is beyond the nature of desire, of any desire, for life, the desire for life, the desire for death. He is, in a sense, the open mouth of undoing, unmaking. But I fortunately have never met somebody like that. I hope never to. But I guess they are likely to be there somewhere in the world. But if they are, they won't be obvious. They'll be quite hidden figures, I think. It's an interesting question for Prune, really. It's a whole massive subject about this, of course, and it's worthy. And the Kabbalah spends a lot of time looking at all the different ways that we can work with these forms, some of which I've written about.
When we talked about it once before, one of the examples, of someone who has Avon was the Sith Lord in the Star Wars thing. Is it Palpatine?
Oh, Palpatine, yes, yeah. Yes, yes, he would be. He would be in that. Yes, it's another fictional example. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, because he's sort of irredeemable, isn't he? He's given himself so fully to that. Whereas Darth Vader is maybe an example of Peshawar, and is redeemable in some senses.
Is there not a sense, though, Ian, that there is chaos anyway? It's not chaos. Clipotic chaos.
That's different. No, chaos. This depends what we mean by the word chaos, doesn't it? So there is creative chaos, which is the upsetting of the balance. which is the necessary upsetting the balance, the necessary disturbance. What Prune is talking about, I think, is the is that sense of that deliberate the attempt to hurt, to wound, to stop, to destroy, to kind of, you know, the as opposed to the necessary create creative chaos that's about change. Definitely, yeah, without chaos everything ossifies, everything just stays the same, you know, and that in itself is a problem. Okay, I'm going to change my mind about what I was going to do. I'm just going to put you into breakout rooms, not for very long, because we've only got an hour left, but I'm just going to put you in for 15 minutes just to talk together about the whole weekend. And so I'm not now going to introduce anything new. I'll come back to the Mabinogi next time. Come back to the fourth branch of the Mabinogi. But so I just want you to go into groups, look at your experience of the weekend, and to formulate questions that would be useful to explore before we finish the weekend. Does that make sense rather than me giving you another spiel? Speak. Yeah? Okay.
Sounds good. It sounds good as long as we've got plenty of time after to come together.
Well, it's just going to be 15 minutes, right? So it's basically, you'll be in groups for 15 minutes and then we've got 3/4 hour afterwards to talk. Yeah?
Sounds really good.
So it'll have to be quite tight, but I think that makes better sense than me giving you more information.
Okay. Oh, that's a shame. I was really looking forward to the fourth branch.
Well, we'll see where we go. You may come back with tell us about the fourth branch.
Can't we have a vote?
A vote for what?
The fourth branch.
We can, yes. Who wants to do the fourth branch? Hold up your hands. One. Ali, not to. Two. Okay.
I always want to, but I think we maybe in our small groups we can decide that and give you a group consensus.
You could give me a group consensus. You could say, tell me about the fourth branch. I will be able to tell you about the fourth branch quite concisely because of what we've already done, actually, I think. But I think let's do that. Let's do that. Yeah, I'm just going to... it will literally just be 15 minutes. I'll pull you straight out. Okay, so just to... and then you can, again, if you've got loads of questions, then we'll have to work out what we can do because we've only got 3/4 hour, but we'll see what happens. So
okay, then these have it.
So I'm going to do 4 groups. What is that? Right, 4, yeah, well, fuck it, I'll do 4 groups. Okay. Okie dokie. Great. Okay, go.